Welcome to Masterpiece Theater. I am your host. Oh, wait, this is Writing Prompts, not Masterpiece Theater. Welcome to Prompted. Well, hello and salutations. It is I, Robot Devil. I am here today to introduce to you your new host for Prompted, the podcast for writing prompts. Yes, it's marvelous. And here he is, your host, Nate Parker.
Why, thank you, Robot Devil. It's good to be here. I'd like to welcome you all to the revitalized r/writing prompts podcast, Prompted 2.0. Or Season 2? It doesn't really matter. What matters is that we're back from outer space. Now wipe that sad look from off your face. We're not changing the locks, but what we are doing is reading you stories from our subreddit. Probably about once a month, because these podcast things take a lot of work. That said, feel free to reach out to us via mod mail with either the subject line containing Prompted or Podcast, or swing over to our Prompted and let us know if you can help. We'll also be trying to integrate this effort with our Discord server. What's Discord, you ask? Well, it's the media chat platform we use to keep in contact with our subscribers, prompters, and writers. And every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, we have a campfire where we circle up and read some of the stories from our subreddit. Some of that may even end up here in future episodes. Now that that's out of the way, on to the stories. The following prompt response is by Noah Elowin, one of our spotlightees. And the prompt is, "You're a small-time god with only one follower. They moved to a big city and you followed, determined to make it as one of the revered gods of the pantheon. The temple district was overcrowded, so you decided to make a local park your sacred home. A year later, everyone knows your name." Aereo ambled across the local park. His bright, fire-colored eyes danced from flower to flower. Many things crowded his mind, but nature was his solace. And so, unaware of the looks he gleaned, he sat by an unfurled rose standing in solitude amidst the green grass blades. His fingers traced its velvet-soft petals, and with each heartbeat, the little things causing mischief in his head faded glacially away. There was no time to think, and there was little time to feel. Here, in the park, beneath the blazing sun, there was no place for the former. He sniffed the rose, and its aroma traveled down his nostrils all the way to the inmost burrows of his heart, filling them, to the brim, with happiness.
"You will grow even more, and you will be even more beautiful," he murmured to the rose.
And the rose teetered as though flattered. In that moment, a gust carried an errant balloon to Aereo. He looked a little bit confused, but then his eyes slid upward, and there she found a little girl. She had short, sun-kissed curls and eyes bright as the sky. "What are you doing?" she said, curious as she gathered his balloon. Enrio's brows knitted, but soon they loosened.
"I'm marveling over the rose's beauty. Isn't she perfect? Look at how shiny its petals are."
"It is," the girl said, her fingers gently touching the fiery flower. "It's very pretty." Butterflies flitted in Enrio's heart when he heard her words, for they were pure and true.
"Could you look at the sky for me?"
Without a question, the girl's eyes got lost in the clouds. "It's a shiny day."
"It is,"
Aereo said. And with a swift motion of his hand, as if he were caressing the sun, a patch of sky turned the color of a rose, and that patch crumbled and rained down on them in the shape of endless petals, swaying in the breeze, wheeling, pirouetting, until a red carpet lay beneath their feet. The girl's jaw dropped a little, and her eyes twinkled with wonder and curiosity. "How did you do that?"
"I was born with it. My name is Aereo, and I'm the god of rose petals. It's a pleasure to meet you."
"A god?" She covered her mouth with her free hand and then turned. "Mom, did you see what he did?" A woman watching from the distance came, nodding and at a loss for words. At last she came to Aereo's side, rested a hand on his shoulder, and said, "Could you make petals rain in my wedding day?"
"That day, call my name, Aereo, and the petals will rain."
Soon Joyous, the girl, and her mom left the park. Minutes later, an old lady with a great arched back and cane came to him.
"What you did was wonderful," she said,
and smiled a toothless smile.
"It's been a long time since I saw such a young face shining with such happiness."
Aereo held her eyes. They were frail and faint, but beautiful in their own way.
"She was happy, wasn't she?"
"She was,"
the old woman said, and her gaze strayed to the rose beside Aereo.
"Roses are beautiful. My husband always gifted them to me before he passed. He said if passion had a form, it would be that of a rose, gorgeous yet full of thorns."
Aereo nodded, and in his hand a myriad of petals appeared, intertwining with one another in the shape of a bouquet of roses.
"Here,"
he said, and he held it out for her. The old woman gasped and reached for it. Tears streamed and slinked down the wrinkles on her cheeks.
"Oh, I wasn't expecting this. My heart is beating like it hasn't done in decades. Thank you, Aereo. I won't forget your name."
In time, she was gone, and there besides the flower, Aereo remained, forgetting, second by second, the troubles of the other gods. Perhaps, he thought, deed by deed, he would become great at some point. But for now, only happiness mattered.
Hits the spot. Well, now time for our next story. And more coffee. Or wine if you prefer.
The following prompt response is by Nova the Elf. And it's one of our simple prompts. "My love has grown like a vine around my throat." I really do prefer the shorter prompts, to be frankly honest. And here we go. "Nearly every night since I was a child, I have had night terrors. It wasn't so bad for the first few months. I would wake up in the middle of the night, racked with a deep sense of fear. I mentioned it to my mother, but she shrugged me off, believing that I was exaggerating for one reason or another. It was then that I stopped confiding in her. After a few years of this, I began to have nightmares alongside my terrors. They were the normal, childlike dreams of running from monsters, ghosts, and other villains. But after my father passed away, leaving my mother and me alone together, they grew worse. Waking life descended into chaos as well. Even though I was 14, my mother expected me to be the man of the house and take care of her. Childhood slipped through my fingers as I became the sole provider for the two of us, when my mother herself fell ill. The nightmares grew singular. I began to have a recurring dream. I was running through a dark forest, scared and alone. I could hear my father's voice calling for me, but no matter how hard I searched, I could not find him. All I could see were the blackened branches and the tangled thorn bushes all around me. And the most terrifying part wasn't that I couldn't find my father. It was the sound of the wolves that followed me through the twisted trees. But the most vivid of these nightmares came the night after my mother and I had a rather nasty fight. I was 17, and I believed that I ruled the world. She was bedridden and in need of my care. I remember that I told her I filled out an application to a university across state lines, and she responded angrily, accusing me of abandoning her and making the gross logical error of believing that I wished her dead. The night ended in me tearing up the application and locking myself in my bedroom, crying silently in despair. When I finally surrendered to sleep, I found myself in that forest. Like clockwork, the sound of my father's voice floated in on the breeze. I began to pursue the sound, carefully pushing aside branches and vegetation to keep from being heard, but despite my efforts, the low growls of the wolves rumbled behind me, and I began to run. I winced in pain as the sharp brambles of the thorn bushes tore through my flesh. Fear was steadily rising in my throat. I could feel my lungs burning as I ran. Panting, I stopped for a moment to listen once more for my father. The voice grew louder now. It seemed to be just on the other side of a swath of trees. Hearing the bloodthirsty growls of the wolves approaching, I sprinted towards the barrier.
Using all the force I had, I broke through the tangled branches and found myself in a clearing. My father stood there, his arms open and inviting. I ran to him and hugged him close, tears beginning to fall down my cheeks. After a few minutes, I broke the embrace and turned to see if the wolves had followed me. As I moved, I felt my father's hands on my shoulders. His grip was firm and reassuring, but as I searched the barrier of trees, his grip grew tighter. I tried to shrug off his hands, but they would not move. "Dad?" I asked, confused. There was no response. I attempted to turn, but I was locked in place by his grip. I felt something curling around my ankles and legs, moving swiftly up my torso. I looked down and saw thick, dark vines working their way across my body. I began to struggle against them, but couldn't move. The vines grew across my chest and wrapped themselves around my neck, pulling against my skin tightly. Out of my peripheral vision, I saw the thick canopy of trees stretch out over me. I was trapped, held tightly to one of the trees by the vines. Just then, a lone gray wolf slunk out into the clearing. It approached, its teeth bared. As it got closer, I realized this wolf was much bigger than any normal creature. It was nearly human-sized. Panic settled around my heart and squeezed it tightly. My heartbeat grew faster and faster as the wolf came face to face with me. It opened its mouth even wider and growled loudly, but there was something familiar about the sound. I watched speechlessly as the wolf's mouth turned up into a horrifying smile. My mother's voice emanated from the creature as it slowly whispered, "Stay with me. Don't you love me?" The beast lunged at me, and I let out a silent scream.